So when the Lord created the universe, Bereshis bara Elokim et haShamayim v'et haAretz, He created the universe, and we know that the word bara means to create. It also means bari, which means healthy. Hashem created creation healthy. The natural state of the universe and everything in it is healthy. Humans came along and we became unhealthy, and we started putting plastic into the environment and stuff, so we're messing it up. But health is the ultimate foundation of everything, our sages teach us. He created three things. He created Olam Shana and Nefesh, space, time, and Nefesh. Nefesh is us, human beings. So time and space was created by the Lord. And the Midrash famously says there's like a wedding hall. You have a wedding hall and you have everything set up, and you have the chuppah and the food and the chairs and the tables all set out, and the band's there, and the waiters are there. But the whole thing is just for the chasen and the kala, the bride and the groom. The whole of creation was just for us, nefesh. So we have to tap into the purpose of creation. And the purpose of creation is for actually us to have a deep, real, authentic, palpable, personal relationship with the Creator, which is nefesh. Time and space is time and space, but the Creator is beyond time and space, and we have a part of us that is really beyond time and space too. Your neshama chelek elokai mimal mamish, time and space is beyond time and space. That's why our sages teach us leis machshava tfisa beiklal. No thought can ever grasp Hashem. Why is that? Because thought is within time and space, and Hashem is beyond time and space. So you can never. Think, you're a finite entity, thoughts are finite, you can never grasp infinite through thought. I did have a chiddush, an idea on a meditation retreat that I was running, that you can read that line from the Zohar, Leis Machshava Tfisa Beiklal, a bit differently, different punctuation, Leis Machshava, no thought, when you get to a state beyond thought, Tfisa Bei, that does grasp Hashem, Klal, that's a rule. Leis machshava, tfizabe, klal. There's a klal gadol in Jewish meditation Torah called no thought, you can grasp Hashem. From getting beyond thought into neshama, into a place of neshama, and that place you can grasp Hashem. And that's going to be the ultimate thing we're trying to do, to really truly grasp Hashem, to have a full relationship with Hashem. Because the word for space and the world really is olam. And olam means hidden. Ne'elam means it's hidden, it's concealed. So Hashem's actually made parts in time where we can connect Hashem through different spiritual portals, and those are called Chagim. Chagim are spiritual portals through which we can connect to the good Lord. And each of them has a different way we connect. We know that Hanukkah we connect through light, and you know, different ways. So we've got to understand, whenever it comes to another Chag, something's coming up, what is that special spiritual portal that we're trying to tap into? And we see that usually by the mitzvahs. What is a mitzvah? A mitzvah is a connection point. A mitzvah is the portal. Through looking at the mitzvahs of the day, you can really understand what the day is all about. So that's what we have to do. Preparing for Purim. That's what we need to try and do now. Prepare for the Chag of Purim. And you do that in two ways. The word for prepare in Hebrew, preparation, is hachana, which is the same numerical value, gematria, as two words, ma'ach velev. Ma'ach velev. So ma'ach means you've got to understand it. You've got to understand the day. If you don't understand what the day is and what you're meant to get out of the day, you will not be able to get the most out of the day. The more you understand, the more you'll get out of it. Lev is, you got to yearn for it. How much are you looking forward to it? For the right reasons, by the way. I just can't wait for Purim. Not because I can go and get drunk and be an idiot. That's not the right thing. I'm yearning for Purim because of the opportunity to connect to Hashem. That's what we're trying to do. In fact, we actually see that Purim, as all of you know already, is thought by some to be the highest day of the year. The highest and holiest day of the year. There are two ways we can come to this. One way is, because we've spoken about this before, that the rabbinical mitzvahs are actually on a higher level than the Torah mitzvahs. How can you say such a thing? How can you say such a thing? How can you say that the rabbis, you got five main festivals in the Torah, which are Pesach, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, Simchat Torah in there, and then you got two rabbinical ones. The rabbinical ones are Chanukah and Purim, and we say that actually Chanukah and Purim are spiritually a higher level. Why is this? Because we're very much into the partnership between man and God. We said there are seven liquids: milk, blood, honey, dew, water, oil, and wine. And those seven liquids match up with those seven festivals. So Pesach is blood, Shavuot is milk, Rosh Hashanah is honey, Yom Kippur is dew, Sukkot is water, Chanukah is oil, and Purim is wine. And we know that oil and wine are the man-made liquids, and they're the most chashuv, they're the most important liquids. Those are the ones that we bring to the Mizbeach in the temple. And they're the man-made ones, man-made festivals. So we have this idea, famously, from Rabbi Akiva, when Turnus Rufus, who didn't like circumcision, said to Rabbi Akiva, what's better, the work of God or the work of man? And Rabbi Akiva said, well, what would you rather eat, wheat or bread? So wheat is the work of God, bread is the work of man. So really, the highest level is the partnership between man and God. That's one way we see the Purim's on a very, very high level. The other way is from the Arizal, who very famously says that Yom Kippurim, it is actually called, is a Yom Kippurim. It's a day like Purim, which means it's not even on the high level of Purim. And one reason for that is Yom Kippur, we're connecting to God through leaving physical, the physical world. We don't eat, we don't drink, we wear white, we connect to Hashem, completely spiritual, cut off from physicality. But we all know that that's not the highest level of spirituality. Judaism teaches that the highest level of spirituality is to be in the physical world, but on a very highly conscious level. That's what we call true Kedusha. Holiness means the combination of physical and spiritual. That's why we're sitting here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Why is it called the Holy City? Because this is where heaven and earth meet. This is where it kisses. Where the Beit HaMikdash was, the ultimate intimacy of physical and spiritual, that happens in Yerushalayim. That's why Yerushalayim is the Holy City. That's why Israel is in the middle of the East and the West. The East is all about spirituality in general. The West is all about physicality in general. Israel's in the middle, combining physicality and spirituality. So that's why Purim's a very, very, very high level, that we can connect to Hashem through the physical world. But only if you do it in the right way. So we have to understand what the right way is. We got to look at the mitzvahs. How are we meant to connect? We know that, what do we read on Purim? Megillat Esther. Megillat Esther means the scroll of Esther. But the word scroll, Megillah, is called scroll because it comes from the word Megaleh. Megaleh means to reveal. That's how you read a scroll. You reveal, you open, see what's in it. And Esther, the name Esther, comes from the word Hester. Hester means hidden, revealing the hidden. Revealing the hidden. So we said the whole world for universe, the word for universe and the world is Olam, because Hashem is hidden here. You can't see Hashem. Your five senses can't sense Hashem. You can't see, smell, taste, touch, or hear Hashem on a physical way. Obviously, spiritually, you can do all those things. But we're trying to reveal the hidden, and everyone knows that in the Megillat Esther, there's no name of Hashem. Hashem's name doesn't appear there. And it's hinted to all over the place. But what we're trying to do is reveal that you see no Hashem in this world. You have even seemingly intelligent people teaching at Harvard and Princeton and places like that saying that there is no such thing as a divine, infinite, conscious creator of the universe. Hashem is so concealed in this world. And what we have to do is say that there is only, it's the opposite. Not only is there not Hashem, but everything is only all Hashem. Everything that ever happens is all Hashem. Hashem is doing everything all the time. That's why the whole battle of good and evil is this. Amalek. Haman. Boo. Haman. Boo. Haman. Boo. Haman. So Haman. Boo. He was from the seed of Amalek. We know that Amalek is our arch enemy. Why is Amalek the arch enemy of the Jews? It says, we're going to read this week's Parsha Zachor, Asher Karcha Bederech. He carred you on the Derech, which really means he came upon you. He came to you. But Rashi brings a few different interpretations, and and our masters say other things. One thing it means is karach habaderech comes from the word mikre. What does mikre mean? Mikre means coincidence. It's a coincidence. Mikre. I just did it, you know, coincidentally. Lo b'kavana. It wasn't b'kavana. I didn't do it intentionally. It's a mikre. It's a coincidence. And this is what Amalek wants to say to you. Everything's just a coincidence. It's all nature. It just happened. Things just happen. It just happened. And we got to say, no, it's the opposite. There's no such thing as coincidence. Judaism does not believe in coincidence. Every single thing is perfectly set up in a perfect way by Hashem for the perfect reason. Not going to get into it now, but even someone else's free will. Basically, it's all, everything's from Hashem, 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 Hashem. By the way, we know the word mikre, coincidence, is spelt mem, kuf, resh, hey. So if you change the order of those letters, it spells rak, me, Hashem. Only from Hashem. And if you change the letters around again, it says Hashem, rokem. God embroiders. So embroidery, if you look at an embroidery, a tapestry on the backside, it looks all like a mess. But then you turn it around and you see it's not a mess at all. It's all perfect. So Hashem Rakem, Hashem's embroidering everything. It might look like a mess. It's all perfect. You also see that the words, letters M, Mem, Kuf, Resh, Hey, spells Kara, Me, Hashem. Everything came from Hashem. And they also spell Kuf, Resh, Mem, Hey, spell Karma. Karma. Even the Indians know that everything's from Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
Where did it start with those letters?
Mikre. Karcha baderech. Rashi says it's Lashon Mikre. Everything's a coincidence. There's nothing. But we're saying opposite. Everything is all from Hashem. We know this. You've got to understand this. By the way, the other meaning of the word karcha baderech is he made you cold. Amalek makes you cold. Which means your Yiddishkeit. Your Yiddish is just cold. There's no heat. There's no warmth. There's no heart. There's no simcha. There's nothing. You're just getting up. You're putting on your tefillin. You're davening. You're doing all this stuff. But it's cold. That's what Amalek does. Because Amalek, we know, is gematria safek. Safek means doubt. It puts doubt in your mind. Doubt. Is this true? Should I be doing this? What should I be doing next? Am I meant to be doing this? Doubt messes it up. There's a place within you, by the way, that is completely beyond doubt. There is no doubt. In your neshama, there's no doubt. You know exactly what's true. You know exactly what you have to do all the time. So we need to go to that place beyond doubt. That's why, basically, we say, Chayev inish libesumei ad lo yada. The whole of Purim is to get to a state of lo yada, where there's no das. There's no difference. It says, ad lo yada bein Arahaman Baruch Mordechai. You don't know the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai, which means you don't know the difference between good and evil. Why do you know the difference between good and evil? Because you're so wasted that you've lost all your morals? No, because you're so on such a high level of consciousness that there is no good and evil. There's only Hashem. Everything's good. As we said before, the real answer to the question, why do bad things happen to good people, is they don't. Everything is only good. So we want to get to a state of ad Delo yada. You're beyond das. Das is really within your mind. You've got to get beyond your mind. As we said before, leis machshava tfisa beklal, no thought can ever grasp Hashem. So you've got to get to a state of no thought. State of no thought means that you've gone above your das. You've gone above your das into a state of imuna, by the way, where everything is very, very clear. There's no suffix. There's no Amalek there. There's no even battle anymore. You don't know the difference between Araham and Baruch Mordechai because there's no fight anymore. You've gone completely beyond it. Our sages also teach us Ad lo yada means before the chait of the eitz das tov v'ra. That is the sin of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ad lo yada means before they ate from the tree, before they yada, then they yadad, then they had das, which das means an intimate connection to evil, an intimate connection to be good and evil. As soon as you've got good and evil and these two different things in the world, now you have safek, now you have doubt. So we want to get to a place of above consciousness. By the way, when you drink, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but when you drink, ad lo yada, where you don't know, there's two ways to do that. You can drink so much that you just start crying and you throw up and out of your nose and pass out in a bath. At that point, you don't know anything. So you mazel tov, you did the mitzvah. But that's not what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to get beyond das into emuna. Emuna means it doesn't matter what I see, doesn't matter what things look like, I know it's for the best. If everything's going your way and you understand things, you have das. It makes sense. When things aren't going your way and it's not fair and everything's going against you and it doesn't make any sense, that's when you need emunah, adela yada, where das fails you now. My das, my awareness is telling me that this is wrong and it is bad and it shouldn't be like this. Adela yada means everything's good. Hashem's hidden in everything all the time. So that's what we're trying to do. We know that the cheta is das tovara. What was really happened was they developed ego and taiva. Ego and physical craving. The snake said to them, don't eat from the tree, because if you eat from the tree, then you'll be like Hashem. Hashem says he doesn't want you to be like Hashem. We all know that Chava should have said, I'm already like Hashem, I'm a piece of Hashem. So as soon as the snake made a separation between us and Hashem, it meant that we had an ego. That's what ego is called. Ego is a sense of self separate from your neshama, separate from Hashem. As soon as you get a sense of ego self, then you get taiva. Then she saw the tree. She said, ah, that looks very good to eat. Taiva, physicality, ego. Now you've got all doubt, safek, amalek, you're finished. So we're going to go back. We're going to correct that separation. We're going to completely correct the separation and get back to a state of being. I'm just me, Hashem, there is nothing else, it's all good. By the way, we also know that what was her big mistake, what Chava's big mistake was, don't even get into a conversation with the Yetzer Hara. Why did she even talk to it? The snake could have said something, she's just like, speak to the hand, because the face is not listening, whatever you guys say in America. But don't even get in that conversation. We said this is the key to getting up strongly in the morning. Don't let a thought come in your mind. The alarm goes, you get up. Don't let the Yetzer Hara come in and say, come on, but it's a bit cold, you should sleep a bit longer. As soon as you get in that conversation, especially first thing in the morning, you're going to lose because you're not awake enough to even fight that fight. Alarm goes off, get up. So you've got to be very, 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 very careful about how you drink. Your drinking is to get you to a state of complete unity, consciousness, everything's good, I only see Hashem. And that's how you're going to reveal the hidden. That's what we're trying to do. Megillat Esther means reveal the hidden. So our sages teach us that Mishnichnas Yayin, when wine comes in, what does that also teach us, by the way? On Purim, only drink wine. You're not a frat boy. You're not chugging whatever you're chugging. No chugging. You're going to drink wine like a mensch. From straight after Nates, you're going to start drinking slowly. That's it. And then your day just is a gentle, holy buzz. You know, there's no chugging. Anyway, so it says, Mishnichnas Yayin, Yaitzi Sod. Secrets comes out, and we know that the gematria of wine is 70, and the gematria of Sod, secret, is 70. So there's a balance. But what secret comes out? That's the question. You got to know what secret, what's hidden within you that's going to come out. Now, if you see all of your Rebbeim, many of you are going to Rabbi Alsan's house, he's going to be very, very drunk. He's going to have drunk a lot, but he's not going to be sitting there like crying. No, first get very arrogant. Yeah, my football team. And then drink a bit more and then realize his wounded ego pain and just start crying and throw up and pass out. He's not going to do that. Because his secret that is going to come out when he drinks wine is called his neshama. What's hidden a little bit is neshama because we have guf. Once you have guf and ego, but once you start drinking, once you're on the level of Rabbi Alsan and Rebbeim, then you're just neshama. That's the secret that comes out. If you're not, if you're a frat boy, what's your secret that comes out when you get drunk? Your wounded ego, which is going to be arrogant and then in pain and then you're going to throw up. So by the way, if that's where you're holding, do not drink. You're not allowed to drink. You're not allowed, you're pasha not allowed to drink. It's not a frat boy, let's get wasted. You missed the point. It's let me try and reveal the oneness, reveal my neshama, reveal Hashem. That's what I'm trying to do. If you can't do that drinking, don't drink. He actually says, Chayav Inish Libusumei. Libusumei means to get Baisem. Baisem is smell. We know it's all about smell. Smell is the sense that is most connected to Hashem. It's the word for smell is Reach, and that's connected to the word Ruach. Ruach is a part of your neshama. So, and the word for to breathe is neshima, which is neshama. So you're breathing, you're smelling, which means you're trying to spice up your neshama. That's why when Shabbos finishes, we do Havdalah, we smell spices, because that's good for your neshama. So that's what we're really trying to do. By the way, I'd suggest getting some essential oils, lavender oil and grapefruit oil, for example, and smelling them during the day. Be baisemed up. And we know that Mordechai is hinted to in the Torah, more draw, which is a type of spice, and Hadassah, Esther's Hadassah, which is also smell. Purim is very about the sense of smell. the smell, the most spiritual sense it is. So that's what we're trying to tap into, is just to go beyond our normal everyday perspective that there's separation and body ego, and go to a place of just complete God consciousness. So what are the four mitzvahs of the day? Four mitzvahs of the day.
Yeah, all nice sweet smelling. I would love to have sweet smelling stuff. Actually, that's such a great idea. Where do you get that stuff?
In the health shop. Yeah. So those are nice. But also you can get clothes, anything, just smell. Smell on Purim, smelling. All the yang. There are some good ones. There's some calming ones like lavender. And there's some more enlivening ones like grapefruit. And citrus ones. Brian infused. I definitely have an infuser.
What's that?
You put it in and it puffs out steam.
Yeah, but then water vapor.
Smell water vapor.
Really nice and clean.
Very nice.
I'll bring rosemary. I have that.
So, four mitzvahs. In the health shop. There are four mitzvahs.
Where's the health shop?
All of them begin with mem. Megillah. Megillah Esther. We're going to read the Megillah. And you got to understand what the Megillah is. By the way, my community, and it's based on the Baal Shem Tov, when we say the name Haman, because we're trying to blot out the Amalek, the everything's a coincidence in Safek, we just bang once. Because once you start going crazy, it means you feel that it takes a lot to wipe out Amalek, but it doesn't. It takes one moment of Neshama. As soon as you connect to your Neshama, there is no Amalek there. And we represent that like, that's the one bang. It's not such a big fight. You just have to shift your consciousness. But you do whatever you do, you can, whatever's going to be fun. But there is an inyan, the one bang, bang. It's less fun. And then I often start making animal noises as well. But whatever. But. So, the Baal Shem Tov says, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you hear the Megillah Lemafreya, if you read it Lemafreya, which means out of order or backwards or whatever, you're not Yotzi. Baal Shem Tov says, that means if you're listening to the Megillah and you just think this is telling a historical story, you're not Yotzi. You have to see that the Megillah is current, present in your life. You have your own Amalek and your own Haman and your own stuff going on. And you've got to be connecting to that and revealing Hashem in everything through your life all the time. Mamish. The highlights of the Megillah. Haman says there's an Am Mufuzao Mufurad. There's a nation that is scattered and spread out and not together. What Haman saying is, at the moment, the Jewish people don't have achdus. When they're not together, when there's no Jewish unity, we can take them out. Let's take them out. You're going to see from the midst of the day that it's a lot about achdus. How do you beat Amalek? How do you beat doubt? Is achdus, unity. By the way, that means unity within the Jewish people. It also means unity within yourself. Within our egos, we have so many desires and pain and fear and all. We're not unified within our ego, but your neshama is very unified. Your neshama is just one, so we're trying to tap into neshama space. Remember, we said on Yom Kippur, you want to be in neshama space by being beyond the body. Here, we want to be in neshama space by being in the body. That's real unity. That's the highest level. And we know, actually, in the world to come, the final world to come is going to be physical and spiritual together. The body and soul are going to be together. So we can try and experience that on Purim. In fact, there are people who say that the only chag that will be left once Mashiach comes is Purim, because Purim is the chag of physical and spiritual together more than any other. Other highlight of the Megillah, Mordechai says to Esther, you know, you've got to save the Jewish people. She's like, I'm not sure I'm going to...
What are the main things today that make people feel?
So, Mordechai says to Esther, Ki im echerish techerishi be'esa zayis revach ve'asala ya'amod li yudim im makom acher. She's like, I'm not sure I can do it. Mordechai says a big thing. He says, we're going to be okay, you know. Hashem's already promised the Jews are going to be okay. Just, do you want to play a part in the Jewish people? This is big Eish Torah. This is Eish HaTorah. Are you going to be part of it? No, someone else will do it. It's fine. Someone else will. You don't do that. Step up. You be that person. Do it. Get in there and get it done. And we're going to be okay. Just you got to choose, do you want to be part of the game or not? Who knows? Maybe this is why everything that happened in your life up to this point, maybe it happened for this point. You better step up and do what you're called on to do. You got to be there. And so what happens? Til bash Esther Malchus. My favorite line in the Megillah. Til bash Esther Malchus. Usually translated as, and Esther put on royal clothes. She put on royal clothes, but it doesn't say big day Malchus. It just says Malchus. She put on this sphere the quality of Malchus. And Malchus, leis megame klum, it means she completely got rid of her ego. She completely got rid of her ego and says, you know what, I'm not even living for myself anymore. I'm living for the Jewish people. I'm living for Hashem. This is a very, very, very important thing. We spoke about it in the class the other day. Why do people get upset? People get upset because things don't go their way. When things don't go my way, I get upset. Mm-hmm. I want things to go my way. I want people to like me. I want the weather to be this way. I want my learning to go well. When things don't go my way, I get upset. When people say not nice things to me and criticize me, things don't go my way, I get upset. How about this level? And you'll never get upset again. I don't have my way. I don't have my way. I have Hashem's way. I'm just living for Hashem. I'm all about Hashem. So once you don't have your way, then no one can ever go against your way. It can never be, it's not going my way. Well, if you don't have a way, then nothing cannot go your way. So everything goes your way, because you know that everything comes from Hashem. That's the highest level. Tilbash Esther Malchus. By the way, the Megillah doesn't finish on a very nice note. Esther's still married to this horrible, not Jewish king, and she, that's Mamish Malchus. She's completely given up anything that she thought that she would want in her life. This is the same as the Akedah. Avraham Avinu, he had to Tilbash Malchus. He had to go up there, give up his son, who he loves, all his principles, everything he's been teaching. You're not allowed to sacrifice your children, and his progeny, and he's going to have a big nation, and he waited till he was 100. He had to completely let go of everything. That's called Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh. I'm going to give up what I want, and what I think, and my way. I'm going to give up my way. I have no way. I'm just going to live for Hashem and the Jewish people. Very important. That's why the next, and I believe the most important mitzvah is Matanas Levyeinim. Once again, this is all about Achdus. You'll see it's all about Achdus. Go and give gifts to the poor. Give gifts firstly because that helps you have Mesiras Nefesh, because you don't want to give your money away. It's my money. I don't want to give it to people. I personally believe that you should think all the money you're going to spend on food, alcohol, costumes, everything, and match that to give to the poor people. I personally believe that. All our sages say that Purim's the greatest day of the year to give tzedakah. Why? Because that's called Malchus. Let go of what you think, well, it's mine. What's mine is mine. No, what's mine is yours. You can have it. I'm giving it away. In fact, there's a halacha, kol hapayishas yad nais nimlay. Anyone who sticks out their hand, you have to give to them. By the way, I would probably walk around with lots and lots of 1 shekel coins. Anyone who sticks out their hand, you have to give to them. And that's why our sages actually teach us that this is the greatest day of the year for tefillah. This is the best day of the year for tefillah. Why? Because Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs. And if it's a mitzvah to give to anyone who sticks out their hand, Hashem has to give to you. If you ask for the right things, obviously, that are going to be beneficial for you, very, very powerful day for tefillah. Don't mess that up. By the way, the Yetzirah knows that, so it gets you drunk. Gets you drunk, makes you very busy with all the mitzvahs and getting drunk and having the suda and everything, and you miss tefillah. You have to find yourself 20 minutes on the day and go and sit and do hispaidus mamish, pour out your heart to Hashem and speak to Hashem all day, all day. You know what I'm doing all day? I'm giving people brachas all day, just overflowing, just brachas from my heart. You do that. You want to tap in that place. Also, the people you don't like so much, the people who annoy you during the week, during the normal year, you're a bit drunk now, just go and love them more. Just give love. By the way, once you get onto your level of your neshama, of course you love every Jew. Of course you love every Jew. It's only your ego. Do you know why you don't love that guy who really annoys you? It's not because he annoys you. It's because you've got an ego. If you didn't have an ego, he wouldn't annoy you. So on Purim, you have no ego anymore, so he doesn't annoy you. You're going to be giving everyone brachas, brachas, brachas. Then we have Mishloach Manas. Again, that's Achdus. Go and give gifts to your friends. I would spend so much more time on Matanas Levyeinim, but there's something. We have an idea as well to give Mishloach Manas to people who aren't your favorite people, to try and build love between them. Write a little note saying, look, I find you very annoying. No, don't do that. But you know, write people a note and say, I don't feel that we've had the best connection this year, but you're a Yid, I love you. Here, this is a token of my love and appreciation. Do that. Go and get out of your comfort zone. You could do that. By the way, it says kol nosim yad, kol poshet yad, kol poshet yad. Whoever sticks out their hand, but I've forgotten who said it. But he said kol pashet yid. Anyone who's a pashet yid, Hashem gives to them. Just be a pashet yid. I'm simple. I don't need so much. I have emuna. All you have to do, Rabbi Nachman says this beautifully, you just have to have tamimus, just simplicity, pure-heartedness, and all a Jew needs to do is have emunah and do mitzvahs. That's it. Life's very simple. Everyone makes life so complicated. It's not complicated. Kol pashut yid. Be a pashut yid. Have emunah. Do mitzvahs. By the way, emunah is the key to simcha. And Adar is all about simcha. So you really want to... Mishan nichnas Adar, mavim besimcha. Doesn't mean that when Adar starts, you get happier, because that would be Misha matchil Adar. It's Mishan nichnas Adar. That means when Adar enters into you, when you receive Adar, when you are integrating Adar. Adar means Aleph is Hashem always, and Da is lives. Aleph Da. Da is Dira. A Dira, an apartment, is called a Dira. So Aleph Da, we say that during Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, HaMelech Basadeh, the king is in the field, so he's closer. You can talk to Hashem better. But in Adar, he's even closer. He's living in the house. Aleph Da, Hashem is living. Mishnichnas Adar, when Adar enters your consciousness, that Hashem is here, living with us, and doing everything, then you have Emunah, then you have Simcha. That's the real, real proper key to Simcha. Bezrat Hashem. Then you've got the Mishteh. The Mishteh is the meal, the Suda. Once again, we want to be making sure that our poor brothers and sisters, they have their Suda as well. But in the we're trying to tap into Einon Milvadoa, and we're trying to eat and drink in godly ways through Anashama. It's much higher, it's much harder than Yom Kippur. It's easy to fast. Fasting is easy, just don't eat. Be hungry. To eat consciously, especially when you're drunk, very difficult. Very difficult. So you try it. Try for your first bite at least. What is the point of eating? Why did God give you taste buds so that you could get the pleasure of eating? The point of pleasure is chibor. The point of pleasure is connection. Pleasure connects two things. If you get pleasure from someone, you feel connected. If you don't get pleasure from them, you don't feel connected. If you get pleasure from some food, you feel connected to that food. No pleasure, no food. No connection. So the pleasure you get from eating your food should be connecting you to Hashem. Thank you so much. You're going to dress up. You're going to dress up. I got 1 minute here. Dressing up. Dressing up, what's the word for dress up in Hebrew? Lehitchapes. Lehitchapes. It means to dress up. A tachposhet is a costume. So what does lehit mean in Hebrew? Lehit is reflexive, something you're doing to yourself. What does chapes mean?
Fine.
To look for. To look for. Lehitchapes means you're actually, the Hebrew word for to dress up means you're looking for yourself. You're looking for yourself. That's why on Halloween, what do? They dress up as evil and do trick or treat. They dress up as something evil and go taking. On Purim, what do? We do the opposite. We dress up as tzaddikim and we give. It's exactly the opposite. So we're searching for our neshama. And we're making a joke, basically, because you're dressed up all year. You have your persona and your Facebook persona and your Instagram persona and your cool, traveling, martial arts rabbi persona. So let's take off our masks. Put on our masks in order to take off our masks. At the end of the day, when you take off your mask, you should actually think about, you know, I'm going to take off my other mask, which is your ego and your persona. You want to get rid of those things. Bezus Hashem. So we've got to be yearning for the opportunity to go beyond das, to go beyond normal understanding and how we see the world as good and evil, and tap into a place of emunah before the tree of good and evil, where it's just all good and only Hashem. And in that way, we will reveal the hidden, which is our own neshama. And through our neshama, we're going to reveal the sweet Lord Himself. Bezus Hashem, we should all be zeicher.